You will be relieved to know that this is the last unbearably long homily on the theology of the body. So congratulations, you have survived. As John Paul II rounds out his reflections on Christ's third word on the resurrection of the body, he eagerly includes the teaching of St. Paul the Apostle. It is no exaggeration to say that in the New Testament, St. Paul stands as the great comprehensive theological mind who provides an overarching framework into which the insights and contributions of the other inspired authors can be fit. Viewed historically, John Paul carries forward the work of Thomas Aquinas, who in turn built on the labors of Augustine. But all three saints relied on the foundational work of St. Paul and his 13 New Testament epistles. Remember the old children's game called a telephone? You know, the children stand in a line shoulder to shoulder, and someone whispers a sentence into the first child's ear at the end of the line. That child turns to whisper what he heard into his partner's ear, and each subsequent child does the same. By the time you get to the end of the line, the sentence is humorously garbled and unrecognizable. Well, I would suggest to you that St. Paul, as an inspired author of sacred scripture, heard the original whisper of the resurrected Christ. And all the subsequent saints have been trying to understand and reconstruct that original sentence Paul heard from the lips of Jesus, the teacher. John Paul II wants to include what St. Paul heard at the front of the line in his theology of the body. And so he interrupts his reflections on Christ's third word by first delving deeply into St. Paul's thoughts about the resurrection of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And secondly, by considering 1 Corinthians 7 and Paul's presentation on celibacy for the kingdom. The Pope is convinced that we have not yet touched upon everything that the sacred scriptures have to teach us about Christ and his three words on our Edenic origins, our earthly pilgrimage, and our eternal destiny, until we sit at the feet of St. Paul and ask him to tell us what he heard as the first child in Jesus' telephone game. The Pope puts it summarily, noting, in his synthesis, Paul thus reproduces everything Christ had proclaimed when he appealed at three different moments to the beginning in the dialogue with the Pharisees, to the human heart as a place of struggle with concupiscent desires in man in the Sermon on the Mount, and to the resurrection as a reality of the other world in the dialogue with the Sadducees. In keeping with our theme of using the adjective eschatological, like we did with eschatological integrity and eschatological virginity, we will call this third syllable Pauline eschatology, even though eschatology functions as a noun and not as an adjective. Sorry about that. First, John Paul interrupts his discussion of eschatological integrity. Souls and bodies will enjoy heavenly glory. By examining 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 49. The Pope considers these words a synthesis of Pauline anthropology concerning the resurrection. Quoting Paul's powerful words here, "What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised full of power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." Paul goes on, "If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written that the first man, Adam, became a living being, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual." You know, as a child, I sometimes watch the show The Addams Family. This macabre family included members such as Gomez, Morticia, Wednesday, Pugsley, Uncle Fester, Grandmama, the butler Lurch, Aristotle, the pet octopus, and even a disembodied hand called Thing. They were a bunch of lovable monsters because they were so endearing and entertaining. In a sense, St. Paul sees all humanity as members of this Adams family, a bunch of lovable monsters. But the apostle then compares and contrasts them to the family of a new Adam, namely Jesus. In other words, by birth, we become members of the first Adam's family, lovable monsters. But by baptism, we are adopted into the new Adam's family, the family of God. John Paul explains St. Paul's use of the rhetorical device of antithesis or opposites. John Paul elaborates, "By contrasting Adam and the risen Christ, or the first Adam and the last Adam, the apostle in fact shows in some way that the two poles in the mystery of creation and redemption between which man is situated in the cosmos. We live between these two atoms." He goes on, "Between these two poles, between the first and the last Adam, the process unfolds that he expresses, St. Paul, in the words, 'Just as we have borne the image of the man of earth, we will bear the image of the heavenly man.'" In other words, this antithesis of going from the old Adam's family to the new Adam's family is what St. Paul heard when Jesus whispered that original sentence into his ear at the beginning of the telephone game.